I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to point out that earlier this evening, the board met in executive session to discuss student expulsions and personnel issues. Dr. Dyer is out of town, so Dr. Ball will equally be filling in for him this evening. And looking at our attendance tonight, I think everyone except Mrs. Houston, who had another commitment this evening, are present. Also, Attorney Berman is joining us electronically. Now we come to a very exciting part of our agenda. As most of you know, a vacancy was created on our board with the resignation of Representative Mike Jones at our last meeting in September. And in accordance with state law and board policy, that board opening was advertised and interested candidates were encouraged to apply. Only one candidate came forward. That could be interpreted as apathy, but I'm a class half full guy, so I prefer to consider it to be a general affirmation of satisfaction with what's going on at Dallas County. But as it turns out, that doesn't matter, because the one person who came forward is an excellent candidate. And at a special board meeting held on October 15th, we were very pleased to unanimously approve Mr. Scott Lingard to fill the remaining term until December 2021. We are honored that and thankful that Judge Laird was available this evening to administer the oath of office. And I'll ask him and Mr. Lingard to come forward and receive the oath.
Constitution of the United States of America.
The Constitution of the United States of America.
And the Constitution of this Commonwealth.
The Constitution of this Commonwealth.
And I will discharge the duties.
Discharge the duties
of my office with fidelity.
Of my office with fidelity.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Mr. Lingard, on behalf of the board, welcome, and we sincerely look forward to working with you. Wonder if you have any comments you'd like to make.
Yes, well, thank you for having me. And want to thank everybody. Thank you for the board for the time you spent with me on the 15th. I'd like to especially thank Dr. Ball, Dr. Dyer, and Mrs. Kirby for their time on Monday, bringing up to speed with everything. And Mrs. Levins and Mr. Hartman for lunch today. Our conversations, I felt very welcome, and I'm excited about the new job. So I appreciate everybody's time.
Mr. Lingard, just on top of the behalf of the administration, we're delighted to have you as a board member. There's like someone that doesn't go away. You're obviously here for many years. I had the honor of recommending you years ago to Dallas Town as a middle school teacher of social studies. Being a history teacher myself, I just value what you bring from a governance standpoint. I think you have a lot to add and contribute. And I can certainly attest just to your man of character and honor and integrity, and we're going to do great things here on the board. So welcome.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Any comments from any of the other board members? Okay. Let's proceed. Next item on the agenda is the approval of our agenda. So I'll entertain a motion for approval of the agenda.
Move to approve the agenda as is.
Second.
And a motion and a second. Any questions or comments? All in favor of approval of the agenda as presented, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The agenda is approved. We have two special presentations this evening, and I'll turn it over to Dr. Dodd. I'm sorry, I missed this guy. Still getting used to this agenda manager. First of two opportunities for comments from the public. If any member of the public would like to make a comment, please come to one of the microphones, state your name and address, and make a brief comment. Now we'll move to the special presentations, and I'll turn it over to Dr. Dodd.
Thank you, Mr. Blow. So we're so excited each year to bring the Performing Arts Club to us. We also have a musical performers come sometime. This is a special evening. So we want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to prepare your performance, and also knee-deep in the trimesters preparing your studies to spend and share your talents with us. I want to thank one individual specifically, Stephanie Uner. She is just a phenomenal addition to our Dallas Town staff for many years, and certainly does a great job supporting these students. So thank you for your time. There are a lot of unsung heroes in our district, and she certainly is one for the time that she devotes to the staff. So we're excited for their teaser of the game appearance, which will be held in our high school November 14th through 17th. So at this time, so we get the best view, we're going to move to this area of the board, and you can come forward. If I could briefly also introduce Chelsea, who is the president, who will kick us off with the awards.
Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for having us tonight. We are Dallas Town Performing Arts Club, also known as DPAC. Our mission is to give a variety of hands-on theatrical experiences to students here at Dallas Town, both in performance and production work. We've been working really hard on our fall play, Game of Tiaras, and we're really excited to preview it for you tonight, so I hope you enjoy.
Now, I am a just and righteous king.
Yes, you are, sire.
But I'm a little insecure with my feelings lately.
Totally logical, completely understandable situation.
So, daughters, I'm about to split my kingdom into three parts, but one of you is going to get this. And also, one of you is going to get the best part of the kingdom, and the other two are going to get, like, the totally lame parts. So, the one who answers this question the best gets the great part of England, and the crown, and you can do whatever you want with your other sisters. Also, I foresee no jealousy or problems with this.
This sounds like a great idea, Dad. I'm not really sure we should be doing this.
She loses, right? It's over, she lost.
No, hold on. So, the first question is, we don't need the drum roll.
But drama, suspense.
Oh, yeah, you're probably right. Carry on. Who loves me the most? And please, be specific in your answer and feel free to compose a song off the top of your head. Cinderella, my oldest and meanest daughter, you first.
Thank you, Father. Who should I say? Best Father. You know, there's a lot of types of love in the world. There's the love that a muskrat gives to another muskrat. There's the love that an egg gives to a mama bird. There's the love that a princess gives to her evil henchman. But best of all these loves is the father-daughter bond,
Dad, Daddy, Papa Bear. I got your face tattooed here on my arm. It hurt a lot, but it was worth it. I love you like the... I love you like the waves of the ocean loves the fish. I love you like the banana spider loves the bananas he's hiding upon. I love you like the convicted felon loves his ex-wife. I love you like the... It's too beautiful, I can't continue. I love you that much. Also, your other daughters were terrible human beings and should be killed. Just saying.
Interesting. I'm glad you learned to read, Cinderella.
I learned a lot, sleeping by the heart.
Okay, second daughter, the Snow Queen, who in no way is an infringement of copyright, seeing as how her origin story is public domain.
Thank you, Daddy. When I think of you, Dad, I think of Sundays watching football and afternoons grilling out.
Did you just read off that card?
What?
You just pulled a Hallmark card for this?
Actually, it perfectly captures what I wanted to say.
That's just your Father's Day card from last year.
I will bury this magic kingdom in an endless winter!
Oh, stop it.
Sorry. Have it. I will perform an interpretive dance about how much I love you.
Stop, stop. Don't demean yourself by engaging in modern dance.
Sorry.
Enough. Belle, my youngest and favorite daughter, how much do you love me?
I guess a decent amount.
What was that?
I love you about as much as proper for a daughter to love her father.
Wait, now, hold on there. Did I mention I'm going through a midlife crisis right now? Really insecure about everything. It needs some pretty serious validation.
Look, if you want butt kissing, go to my sister Cinderella.
Thank you.
Or my other sister Elsa.
Ellie! My name is Ellie.
Right. The Snow Queen. Look, I'm cool. You're cool. Let's just be cool together.
That's not really what I'm looking for.
Princess, consider your answer carefully. Your father loves you most of all. And he loves you so much, in fact, that he's going to disinherit you if you don't fall to your knees and kiss before he walks on.
Sorry, I've got self-respect.
Very well! You are banished from my kingdom because I'm a great king!
Say it!
Cinderella, Elsa, other daughter, I'm splitting the kingdom in half between the two of
you. Yes, I shall initiate a reign of terror upon my kingdom. Peasant! You shall know your full measure of tears when my armies cross upon your land and lay waste to your pathetic lives. I will be worshipped like a god!
I will also market my image on plastic cups.
And I will reign in a kingdom of snow where everyone is forced to sing the same songs that I sing. You will never escape me. Your children will wake with my song on their lips. And you will be forced to make humiliating internet videos of yourself singing along.
I will also market my image on plastic cups.
Well, I'm done here. I'm going to travel the countryside like a peasant as the two of you tear apart my kingdom. Somehow I wish this could have all been avoided, but someone, not naming names here, but her name rhymes with hell, decided that she was just too cool for Dad today. Oh well, the thousands of senseless deaths that will fall are on your head. Peace out!
Well, this is great. I'm just gonna go to my castle and raise an arm, just in case. Oh, Belle, wanna have a sleepover tonight?
No, thanks.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna head off for a while, too. Maybe raise an ice castle. You know, some things that have been on my to-do list for a while.
Cool.
Get her!
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Good job, thank you.
I'm just making sure you're all right. I'm tired. It'll be something else for a day.
I'm excited for the second presentation. You will have attached to the agenda is a copy of our 2019 Summer Professional Development Highlights. We certainly continue to be proud of our in-house residents, residential professional development experts. They provide a tremendous offering to our staff. In addition, we're pleased to have even a former teacher this past year that came back to offer a course on mindfulness education and to create an abundance of interest and participation. This is a quick summary. This past summer, we offered 19 district-sponsored professional development courses. That's up from 14 courses last summer, 7 workshops, up from 4 workshops the previous summer. And we're pleased to say that 8 of the courses were new offerings. So we continue to try to refine, offer new opportunities for our staff over the summer. We had 311 teachers that participated in the summer program, including 3 administrators, 57 paraprofessionals, and 2 substitutes. And last year, we only had 234. So we had a great deal of participation, an increase of 33%. Also, you have in the highlights a overview of our summer curriculum writing workshops. We had 48 in all. But by far, in my opinion, one of the most important courses we offer is our classroom instruction and educators in the workforce. This course connects the teachers with business community and provides educators the opportunity to develop an awareness and understand and integrate in the education of business communities and exploration. More importantly, it ties directly into one of our 16 pathways and promotes the 16 pathways and gives our teachers a great opportunity to not only just focus here within Dallas Town, but into our business community. I'm pleased to introduce the instructor of this course, Mr. Bill Probert. If there was a ice king that was kind of reassigned, he would be the king of career development here within Dallas Town, in the sense that he provides a lot of opportunity for our students, but also through this course, through our tour staff. Welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Dahl. All I got is you called me a king. I appreciate you having me tonight. This is certainly a labor of love. I took over for Judge Stout for the true king of career development a couple of years ago. I was fortunate enough to inherit this course. And I didn't know what I was getting myself into, to be quite honest with you, because so much with kids and pathways, especially in the last 5 to 6 years, 7 years, 8 years here at the high school level, this is certainly a great complement to our work with the kids. So, the presentation you have in front of you is 22 slides long. Don't worry, I see the principal's kind of cringing. I'm not gonna go through 22 slides. I'm gonna hit a few though. This presentation is actually not mine. Purposely, this is, I put this in the program tonight because it's one of the products from the classroom, so one of the teachers made this. So really the premise of the course is that it's built around our pathway system. We meet each morning here at the school district. We have a pre-session before we go out into the community. The pre-session consists of really, you know, preloading everything that we're going to see that day in the community, reviewing every business and what pathway it complements. And then certainly we take one of the academic work standards every day and move through that so they understand that a little more deeply. I'm going to go through a few of the slides and show you a little bit about what we do. What we were lucky enough to be able to do is link every business with a pathway. So we go to 16 different businesses each during the week. So 4 different ones each day. And you'll see this is again, part of the presentation from the teacher. Well, the first place we go to is Kinsley Construction. We choose that because of the free apprenticeship opportunities that it allows our students. So Kinsley opens their doors to us, and we're able to move through there. We spend about an hour and 15 minutes at each facility. While we're going here, it's important to note, too, that most of the facilities, in fact, all of the facilities have a Dallas Town link or have several Dallas Town links. This teacher went the extra step and put the Dallas Town links into her program to show the students that our parents and our graduates of Dallas Town High School are working at these facilities. And this is something that she has shown in all of her classes so far this school year. Of course, your revolution feeds the hospitality and tourism pathway. Whitehurst Credit Union, we actually didn't go down here to the corner, but I actually went out to the main facility out in East York. And certainly down by Loganville Springfield, we got to tour the state police barracks down there. I think what's most rewarding when we go out to these places is the fact that they talk to us about what they want to see in their workforce. And I think that's really eye-opening to our teachers. Our teachers are great people, and they know their curriculum inside and out, but they don't get to get out of the classroom quite often enough. And if you ask them, and they all said this, you know, those nine people in the room say they wish every teacher in Dallas Town School District could take this course at some point. And that's not a testament to me or Dr. Stauffer before me, but certainly it allowed them the opportunity to get out in the community and see what was actually being done. After our visits, we come back here to the high school, we do a post session. Quite honestly, we usually do that in the van because we're running late for class. So we do the post session in the van on the ride home. They are to, their goal or their takeaways from this, everyone has to do a visual presentation to show their classrooms the rest of the year. They have to redevelop a unit that they already have in their own curriculum and integrate careers into that. They also have to come up with a new lesson to show the students, and then certainly they take notes each day that we discuss on our way home. The goal for them is to be able to link what they've learned to their classrooms, and I think most have done that. In fact, many have come back and said, hey, can you offer a times two or a part two to this course? So Dr. Dahl and I have talked about, obviously, taking a look at that for future summers. And that's about it.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Kerber? Again, I just want to publicly thank you, Mr. Kerber, for doing some just tremendous work for the district and gearing, especially as we transformed into this pathway model, what you're doing for our students and staff. Just can't commend you enough for what you do above and beyond on a daily basis. Thanks.
Thank you. Certainly appreciate it and appreciate the board's support. We have a business advisory group coming up, which you all received an email about that. It's going to be November 14th. Here at the high school cafeteria. I would certainly appreciate if you can be there, and there's a couple of you can't. We have other engagements or surgeries coming up. but certainly, if you can be there, please engage with that. That's the next step for us, really, is to engage with the community to get those next links beyond the walls of Dallas Town High School. So certainly appreciate your feedback. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kerber. Thank you for the good work. Let's move right into the superintendent's report.
Actually, Dr. Dahl. Thank you. And it's my pleasure to again provide the superintendent's report in lieu of Dr. Dyer, who's taking time off to be with his family during the baptism of his very first grandchild. So it's certainly spent the time he's received a text to made it to Illinois. So we're excited for him. As we report out each month, we want to make sure we closely monitor student enrollment. Currently, our enrollment's hovering right around 6,418 students. So we continue to process and orient students that move into our district. Just want to talk briefly about class sizes, particularly at Dallastown Elementary, Loganville, Springfield, Moore Valley, grade 6 at DAIS, as well as grade 7 at DAMS. Is something we monitor closely because those sizes are fairly large. We're talking in mid 500s. We also are looking and trending right around a 1% increase in enrollment
steadily over the past several years. And this is also due to an increase in approved dwelling units across the districts. And just as an example, here's what we know already. We have 1,282 new units that have already been approved by various municipalities over the next 10 years. So that's 1,282 new units, and based on our calculation, and that's through working with Mr. Dyke, that could yield up to 200 students. That's those that are already in the pipeline. We also know there are others in the pipeline, so it's just something for us to consider. And obviously, I'm proud for this board has taken time to study it, as well as in our next comprehensive plan, we have it as a major goal to plan out student enrollment, and also, more importantly, growth strategies. One way we're doing that, I know in the next, as I transition to the rural superintendent, Dr. Dyer's taking me on board with the municipalities, working with Mr. Rohrbaugh. We have a meeting at Moore Township, and just making sure that we cement that relationship so we have firsthand information as these new dwelling units increase so we can do a better job of planning for our future. Additionally, just want to give a quick shout out and thank you to our JROTC as well as DAIS participants in the PASM TSBA conference. Our high school JROTC program was invited to participate in the recent conference, and they presented the colors at the opening of the well-regarded TSBA delegate assembly. So we continue to be and proud of our JROTC cadets, and they certainly are a shining example of what's good that's going on in Dallas Town. And I thank those individuals for their relentless participation. Additionally, I want to thank the intermediate school. We were at the PASA PSBA conference. Members of the Delta team participated in the PA Public Education Excellence Fair. And under the direction of Ken Midget, Eric Parkman, and Erica Sturmer, our students taught conference participants to stream live school activities such as concerts, announcements, and other live events to the public. So although only a small group participated, I know the Delta team is up to over 100 students at the intermediate school with the goal of building technology skills. So they just did a tremendous job. They had a great setup, and I know that they enjoyed the food up there too when they were fed, but it was pretty cool to talk to them and see them in action and initiate a lot of good conversations, so we thank them. Last but not least, the upcoming events, school calendar. Obviously, there's a lot going down. It's hard to believe that we're turning the corner on the end of the first trimester, so please take a look at the activities. I just want to say thank you on behalf of Dr. Dyer and myself for everyone that makes these activities possible. There's a lot of stuff going on all the time, and it's a great place to engage for families, and it certainly is what makes Dallas Town a special place. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Dahl. Any questions for Dr. Dahl? Moving on to the consent items for this evening. Mr. Fisher, any late-breaking additions to the personnel report?
As a matter of fact, there are. Thank you. I just want to add a couple additions since Tuesday. We had a full-time 12-month guidance secretary in high school who's added, a new hire. We had a resignation of a part-time learning support paraprofessional in Loganville. We had a request for two requests for FMLA, one a teacher at Loganville and also a teacher at Gore Valley. We had a change of status, the principal of the intermediate school to the assistant superintendent. And we had a part-time second shift custodian at the middle school to a full-time second shift custodian at the high school. And we added one nurse to help assist in substitute.
Thank you. You retain a motion for approval of the consent items?
I move to approve the consent items as
presented. I'll second
it. Motion and a second. Any questions or comments? Call the roll, please.
Mrs. Trout?
Yes.
Mr. Pantano?
Yes.
Mr. Knoll?
Yes.
Mr. Lytle?
Yes.
Mr. Hartman?
Yes.
Mr. Bensel?
Yes.
Mr. Wingard?
Yes.
And Mr. Blevins?
Yes. The consent items were approved. And now we move on to action items. The first one being a very exciting one, and I'll turn it over to Dr. Knoll.
This is probably my most exciting part of the immediate program, so I'm excited. Upon receiving the position back in this past summer, it has been my number one goal to select an assistant superintendent that best aligns with our vision, our mission, but more importantly, that can complement my leadership style. So over the past several months, we've worked as a team. I emphasize that team with a number of participants to ensure we selected the right person. And this evening, I'm very pleased to bring forth a candidate that I wholeheartedly support as DASD's next assistant superintendent. Obviously, in the last several months, this has been the buzz. Who's going to be the next assistant superintendent? So we're excited that we can announce that this evening. Prior to my introduction, or introducing my recommendation, I'd like to review the process we followed. We did have 16 viable applications initially, and we did interview six candidates. Three of those candidates were invited back to a second round, and two were brought back to a third round. I want to thank our DAEA president, our leadership team, various members, as well as our board of directors for your participation. Once the field was narrowed down to one, then we also held a meet and greet with our board of directors. And throughout the rigorous process, one candidate did rise to the top, and I'm pleased to recommend Dr. Aaron Hepler for your consideration as our next assistant superintendent of schools. Dr. Hepler began her tenure as a mathematics teacher in Southern School District. Additionally, she began in Dallas Town as a mathematics teacher back in 2000. And over her career here in Dallas Town, she served as a math teacher, a coach, assistant principal at the high school for many years, where I got to know her as I was principal at the time, and just how hard she works on a daily basis. And more importantly, most recently, as the intermediate school principal for the last 5 years. I recognize I must surround myself with talent which counterbalances me, and I feel strongly that she has a strong record and is going to be able to provide that counterforce for me as a leader of the school. Under her leadership, DAIS is totally transformed. I feel she is fully respected internally, externally, by us at all levels. She's very positive, sometimes so positive, very bubbly that way, ethical, and more importantly, just a hard worker. I know she's enthusiastic. I know that she's a relentless learner. She'll keep me on my toes that way. And more importantly, she's one that I will easily trust if I'm not in the district to manage things while I'm gone. So with that said, it's my privilege to recommend Dr. Hepler for your consideration, Assistant Superintendent of Dallas Town.
Very good. Thank you, Dr. Don. I'll entertain a motion for approval of Dr. Aaron Hepler as Assistant Superintendent, effective January 1st, 2020.
I'll move to approve the election of Dr. Hepler as Assistant Superintendent, effective January 1, 2020.
Mr. Second?
I'll second it.
I have a motion and a second. Any comments from the board?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, please.
Having worked, having been a former employee of the district, I am incredibly excited about Aaron's ascension to being superintendent. She's an outstanding person, an outstanding leader, and I think this district is going to be phenomenally well as a sitting for the so.
Mr. Blatt, as a point of clarification, this also includes the acceptance of the contract as well, correct?
That's correct.
As I did previously with Dr. Dahl and the appointment of Dr. Dahl for superintendent, I want to make it very clear what I'm going to vote for and my position. I'm absolutely in the same boat I was a couple months ago when Dr. Dahl was brought forward because I think he's the right person. I'm in the same boat tonight because I think Dr. Aaron Hepler is the right person for the job. I'm voting no because I'm not in support of the contract that we're going to execute with her to take this position. So I want everyone to be crystal clear. My no vote has nothing to do with support for the person. It has everything to do with the way the contract is structured and the elements are in that contract. So I want to be upfront with everyone so that when a no pops out, it's not earth shattering and it's not in support because it's in complete support of the person or not. Thank you.
Any other comments before we vote? Call the roll, please.
Mrs. Trow?
Yes.
Mr. Pantano?
Yes.
Mr. Knoll?
No, best of luck.
Mr. Lytle?
Yes.
Mr. Hartman?
Yes.
Mr. Bensel?
Yes.
Mr. Wingard?
Yes.
And Mr. Blevins?
Yes, we have a new assistant superintendent.
I'd just like to take a moment to thank all of you for the journey that I've been on in Dallastown. It has truly been an honor and privilege to serve the families, the staff, all of you in the roles that I've served over the years. And it is with great honor that I accept that position and that I look forward to serving this position in January. I love working collaboratively with people. Yes, I bring energy and positivity. Sometimes my son says a little bit too much. But at the same time, creating that balance of strength is truly an honor. So thank you all for your confidence in my skills, and also thank all of the wonderful faculty, families, and children that I've had the pleasure to work with over the years. I will look forward to every moment moving forward and all the challenges that we face in order to serve our stakeholders and all of our families. So thank you all, and I appreciate that. I would like to take the opportunity to shake your hand at this time just to say thank you for that. Thank you all.
Just on behalf of the board, truly want to offer our sincere congratulations, and we are very proud of you, and we're confident that you're going to do an excellent job in your new role, and we look forward to working with you.
That's right, thank you.
And any other comments from the board?
Could I just thank you all for the process, and Mrs. Heason's not here tonight as well, but she is, and just from a work perspective, and speaking of process, so one down, another one to go down. So obviously, and I know DAIS community and staff since the beginning of the year, since I was appointed, and I knew that she may have some interest and have been on pins and needles. Obviously, that question has been answered. Our next step now will be to develop a process, and will be an open process both internally and externally for fill Dr. Hepler's position. After this evening, we will aggressively begin posting and starting that process with the hope of filling it as soon as we can. But we are we recognize Dr. Hepler's commitment right now is to the intermediate school. Her commitment will be there, and we'll work on some transition. Obviously, she'll need some flexibility moving forward, but I thank the community for supporting her through this. It's fun, two jobs,
Policy is to be approved. Mr. Bensel.
Thank you. Having not heard anything since the last meeting, I'm going to recommend 14 closed policies, 3 administrative regulations, and 3 attachments. I'm recommending the approval.
Is that a motion?
Yeah.
We have a motion for approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any questions or comments about the policies? Okay. All in favor of approval of the policies indicate by saying aye. Opposed, no. Okay. We also, at our last Buildings and Capital Projects Committee, approved, or gave a head nod, I should say, to an expenditure for upgrading some of the portable furniture within the Loganville Springfield, our original choice. Didn't seem to be satisfactory, and the details regarding that are attached in the agenda manager.
And the total additional cost is $38,551. And we retain a motion before approval. Move to approve action item 9C, the enhancement contract with Little Springfield.
Second.
Motion and a second. All in favor of approval of the furniture enhancements at Oakenville Springfield indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no. Mr. Hartman, the repair and modernization of the middle school elevator.
Yes, we discussed this in the finance meeting 2 weeks ago, and the nutshell is the elevator isn't broken down anymore.
Broken down.
There's some advantages to doing it now. There's some new codes coming down the line that there's some advantages to do it now. A note from the finance committee, Mr. Lowell did call to my attention that the payments have changed. The payment structure is now 3 approximately equal payments to do the work. 4 were structured kind of weirdly, one like I think 90% up front or something like that. So it would be more favorable terms to the previous project. So with that, I'll make a motion to approve action item 9.B, the repair modernization of the elevator.
Second.
Motion in a second. Any questions or comments?
I'll make one comment. This is Trout Hour at Middle School yesterday, I think, with some of the PTO friends, and we can't confirm the elevator doesn't work.
Hopefully the stairs were not too far this time.
That's another story from the day.
Any other questions or comments? All in favor of approval of action item 9D, the repair and modernization of the middle school elevator, indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries. And our last action item for the evening is approval of a resolution for statement of charges. Mr. Fisher.
Thank you, Mr. Blevins. This will be very short. In accordance with school code, Section 1122, we're seeking approval of a resolution to issue a statement of charges, which we provided to you earlier.
Okay. Motion for approval.
I'll move to approve action item 9E, the statement of charges.
I'll second it.
A motion and a second. Any questions or comments? Call the roll, please.
Mrs. Trout?
Yes.
Mr. Pantano?
Yes.
Mr. Knoll?
Yes.
Mr. Lytle?
Yes.
Mr. Hartman?
Yes.
Mr. Bensel?
Yes.
Mr. Wingard?
Abstained.
And Mr. Blevins?
Yes. Action item 9 is approved. Now we move to our information items and yet another highlight of the evening, and that is the report from Mr. Retschloff, our student representative.
Thank you, Mr. Blevins. So I'd just like to start off my report by thanking DTAC for its performance. Being a member of the club for the last 3 years, I really have the distinct privilege of being able to see some members' growth as well as being able to take opportunity and have growth in myself. They really do put in tons of hard work, dedication, and hours. I'd also like to thank the advisors, Ms. Uninger, this newcomer, and Ms. Benanti for her work on the Winter Dinner Theater. For the report itself, Mu'au Kapeia, our Math Honor Society, inducted 41 new members this month, making for 83 members total on this Monday. Our Future Business Leaders of America chapter participated in the 3rd annual FBLA in the City event earlier in October, where they visited 5 businesses and learned what it is like to start and operate a small business. Members are working hard to fundraise for the American Heart Association and preparing for competitive events. Downtown Performing Arts Club and the International Thespian Society, Troop 7973, have raised a combined total of $703.78 on behalf of a nonprofit organization, All Hands and Hearts, to aid in their efforts to help survivors of hurricanes typhoons, and other natural disasters in the U.S. and abroad. Our National Art Honor Society has helped create the spirit of the Great Gatsby by painting the floors for our homecoming dance. Art students from a variety of our art classes are representing Dallas Town and countywide Your Community Star exposition by displaying 51 works of art at Market View Arts. There will be a reception this Thursday, October 8th, like tonight. but the work will be on display from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. until October 26th. The work will be juried by professional artists and York College art professors. Students will have the opportunity to win cash prizes in multiple categories and can apply for a $20,000 scholarship to York College. The finalist exposition, reception, and award ceremony is Thursday, November 7th from 5 to 8 p.m. at Market View Arts. And student council, our homecoming and our related events such as Power Cup were huge successes. I've received a lot of great feedback from people. There was a lot of great leadership by members in the council that I've seen, and I would just like to publicly thank my advisors, Ms. Boyd and Ms. Hewitt, for all the incredible mind-numbing work that goes into running a dance for 1,000 students. with that, that's my student report. And I'll take any questions if anyone has.
Very good report. Any questions for Mr. Rexler? Well done, thank you. Now we'll move to the Chartwell's report, Mr. Goldman.
While he's coming down, I'll kick it off just to say thank you to Mr. Goldner and his team this summer. Early back, if you remember in the springtime, we had talked about the summer lunch program. Mr. Goldner and his team did a phenomenal job organizing that and getting it prepared on a daily basis. So, you know, I felt like publicly we needed to recognize you for that and the team for what was done this summer for our families and our community. So,
thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate the opportunity every time I can to come up and fill you guys in on some of the things that food service has been doing in the school district. This is just a snapshot of some of the things that we've done since the last time I gave a presentation. I'm going to go over 2019 Turkey Day, financial for 2018, the summer food program, free breakfast, student choice events, Discovery Kitchen, high school career day, mini breakfast grant that we received, and fair check certification. First off, I want to invite you all again to come November 13th or 14th to help serve in the cafeteria of the students for Turkey Day. We had one board member, Ms. Heistead, not here, but she did it last year. Just gives you the opportunity to be behind the line, interact with some students, see what we do, see, you know, the students' faces. We invite administration staff as well. They come in and help serve students. You put that on your calendar. Get with Mr. Rohrbaugh, we'll schedule when you can come. The elementary is the 13th, and then the middle, the intermediate, and high school is on the 14th. For the 2018-19 year, we guaranteed 200,000 return, and we ended at $262,380. This is just some of the numbers compared to the year before. We did, for breakfast, we did about 7,800 more meals for breakfast. The reduced was down a little bit, I think because some of the students were moving from reduced to free or reduced to paid, so they moved around a little bit. The paid, we did 4,697 additional breakfasts compared to the year before, for a total of 10,916 more breakfast meals for the whole year.
And I'll jump in there real quick on the breakfast. One of the things I commend Mr. Goldner on and his team is the fact that at the high school level, they've basically gone to a breakfast on the go for students. And I know Mr. Fantana was there for our food service committee meeting on Tuesday. But the kids rave about the fact that they can text their orders into the high school staff. They have an iPad that they get those on, and then the orders are made, and the kids are basically coming in, picking up their brown bag, back to class they go. So I commend them for thinking outside the box on ways to continue to feed kids during the day. So, thank you.
And that's all with the help of Dr. Fletcher and his staff. They allow the students to take those meals to the classrooms and the teachers as well. So we're just doing whatever we can to get the students breakfast. If they're not getting that at home, we want to make sure that they know that we have it offered here at the school, at all the schools. I've worked with the pre-breakfast program on the top slide. For lunch, we did about 10,194 lunch meals than the year before. Again, the reduce was down, and I believe it's because some of the students were moving around from the their status for reduce or paid. Paid did 7,439 more meals than the year before for a total of 15,543 more meals served for last year compared to the year before. As Mr. Rohrbach said, the summer meals program, we served 751 meals during the 27 days, which comes out to about 28 meals per day. Along with that, we also served 149 second meals, which means the children and students could come up and get a second meal after they completed their first meal. Pre-breakfast, we did it in March during the National School Breakfast Week. Again, just to promote the offerings that we have during our breakfast. And then we just did it last week here in October during the National School Lunch Week. Again, we're just trying to bring awareness to the students that we offer the breakfast if they're not getting it at home, because breakfast is the most important meal of the day to get them up and running and starting for the school day. One of the student choice that we did at the high school was we offered a little small sample of a turkey Reuben, a vegetable mozzarella panini, and a chicken cheese flatbread. What we did is in the main lobby, we had a setup with the tables and just little samples enough for the students to come by and taste them. And then off to the side, we have a table at the top left corner with laptops, and the students could vote on what they liked the most. And we calculated the votes. And of course, the Southwest chicken and cheese flatbread was the most popular, because chicken is popular with the students in high school. No matter how we do it, they love it. So we offered that in May, and I talked to Chef Scott. We also offered it in September, and we just offered it on Monday of this week. Another student choice we did was just in the beginning of September, during the ninth grade club fair. Two of the students had given us some menu ideas to run. Chef Scott took those menu ideas and made sure that we could offer them within the requirements of the government, the guidelines, so we matched up with some recipes that we had in our system with what they offered. We didn't have a chicken option. Well, we did. It was chicken peanut stew, but it was more of a peanut stew, and they didn't really care for that, but it was something different. A lot of students did try it. The winner there was the Korean barbecue beef, and then the jollof rice was close second, so what we did is we ran that, those two together. I think it was just last week as well, and then we're gonna run it again in November. So it's just giving the students opportunity to try something different and let them vote on it. Whether the most popular is what we put on the menu. Discovery Kitchen, we did infused water at the intermediate school. I put up the peach orange mint in the boardroom. You guys have a chance to try it. It's just trying to educate the students on the importance of staying hydrated, drinking water. It's just a different way to spice up the water with fruits and herbs. Gives it a little bit of flavor. So I hope you guys tried it. If not, it's still up there. In April, we participated in the High School Career Symposium, and I had the regional chef guy join me for the table just to discuss the 27 other divisions within Compass Group and the opportunities that are within our company for students across a variety of different job careers. This year in the middle school, we applied and we received a mini grant. So what we did is we focused on trying to increase the middle school's breakfast count meals, and we focused on the entrance where riders get dropped off. The next slide will show you the picture of the cart that we purchased with that grant. It's going along slowly. We've done a scratch-off promotion where the student got a meal, they got a scratch-off ticket, and we're going to announce the winner of movie tickets tomorrow at the middle school. Some of the other prizes were beverages and snacks. A big commitment with Compass Group and Chartwell's K-12 is allergy training. We were involved with this Fair Check. We were one of the first companies to get involved with them. There's a lot of information there. Basically, every year, myself and my leads have to review allergens, the 8 most popular allergens, and go through a training. We got a new dietitian last year, so she wanted to get this involved. So we trained all of our employees starting last November on some basic things, so they understand the importance of allergies, that we're doing meals in separate areas, separate times, not cross-contaminating anything. And at the back of school in August, I went over that. We did a review for those employees that were here last year, did the training, and anyone that's new, we have to go through that training as well. Again, thank you for the opportunity to go over some things that we've got. Any questions?
Fantastic. Good report. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now we move to plan con approvals for PDE, Mr. Royal.
Thank you, Mr. Blevins. Attached are two letters that came from PDE back in mid-October related to our plan con reimbursement. It basically changes our reimbursement rate for the loan that was taken out in 2017 prior to my arrival from 12.6% up to 17.7%. So what that equates to is we received an additional, basically $180,000 this year, an additional funding, and now we'll continue to get funding throughout at the higher rate for that loan. So I just want to make the board aware of that. Again, I would also commend the board for working through that process, because I think at one point, you know, when the state had set a line on when those approval letters had to be in, you guys worked very diligently to get in. So, you know, we're now reaping the rewards of that. So.
That's wonderful. You can bring an extra 180 grand
every meeting.
I wish there was a money tree to do that.
In his absence, we should acknowledge the extreme amount of effort that Dr. Dyer put in getting meeting that deadline. An excellent job, and it's paying off. So. Okay. Any questions about that? That requires no action.
Correct. This is the improvement.
Okay. Last week, the ASA PSBA School Leadership Conference was held at Hershey, and several of our board members, as well as Dr. Dyer and Dr. Dahl, attended and thought it would be good for those of us who attended to offer any reflections or highlights or takeaways that I'd like to talk about. So. Anyone want to go first?
First, look at me. As an overall theme, I thought this year's conference was one of the better ones I've been to. There's a lot of interesting breakout groups, a lot of interesting conversation. It's an overall theme. A few things I went to, and I think I have a slide that Scott can put up there. I went to section the fair funding trial that's going to be happening soon, and we've talked a lot about this, about the fair funding forming in the state, but until you spend an hour and a half in a room talking about fair funding, you're like, wow, this is a lot worse than we ever even had. What the chart shows, and I encourage you to look at it at your leisure, but the bar graph shows the overall increase in cost to the schools, and then the graphs next to it, I would use different colors, show what the state increases were. So essentially when the state runs around and says, oh, we've increased education funding, they're not even keeping up with the PSER costs. And that's not an indictment on PSER, but a fact of fact. The PSER cost alone is $2.5 billion, would be. And the increase in state funding is just a little over $2 million. So we're, $500 million short every year. And like I say, the state runs around and says, oh, well, we fixed the problem. They didn't go to fix anything. In fact, it's been a lot worse. Same with special education funding. $1.1 billion in special education expenses across the state and $88 million increase. I mean, it's ridiculous. So, again, I keep my fired up because I spent an hour and a half listening to people talking about this formula. So, if you have any questions and want to meet me afterwards, I'll be glad to put you on more of the details of that. But, the other thing I went to is a conference called Beyond the Test Score, and something we talked about here a little bit at Allentown with social emotional issues that are coming into the district, and some districts around the state that have said, hey, let's de-emphasize this PSSA test a little bit, and let's worry about our kids a little more. So they had some things that they were doing, and I don't know where we stand on that, but it was just interesting to hear some ideas about what some other districts are doing. Then I went with Mr. Benson to the PSBA delegate assembly, which is always an interesting time. And one of the big issues around the state is not as much an issue here. Bus fare funding, I think, is probably one of those biggest challenges from the state, but other districts are dealing with transportation costs. And there are really some ridiculous things going on. There's
some districts being forced to take non-public schools out of state to private academies, and there's other districts that don't even have their own buses, but they have to have buses for non-public students to haul around. So I'm not saying that, not taking a position whether you should have public transportation, non-public schools, non-public children on public transportation. Not here to do it, but I'm just saying it is a huge cost driver for a number of districts in the state. It's somewhat of a driver here, but we're fortunate that it's not our main issue right now, as it is a lot of districts. One final thing I'll say at PSB, Delegate Assembly, not many platform changes, although there was some language added. Mr. Johnson commented a lot about adding some more language in the platform about social and emotional issues. And again, one of the plans in the platform was trying to de-emphasize statewide testing because of the stress it's causing students. And you know, we hear about kids crying and kids getting upset stomachs. That's certainly not helping their social and emotional outlook from the school. So, a couple of my takeaways from the conference.
I went to two sessions. The first session was about guiding the narrative and spreading positive news. I work in marketing, so I could really relate to the session. I liked it a lot. The people who presented it were from Hempfield. So not very far away. What struck me is that they employ two full-time marketing people and a part-time webmaster that just retired, and they decided not to rehire for that, but only got 2.5 people to get out positive news about their district. Seems like a lot. But they're on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, and they're doing blog posts and podcasts. So, you know, we're looking at maybe doing a little bit more of that and taking that off of the plate of the superintendent moving forward. I certainly don't think we need to dive into all those platforms off of that, but it was interesting to hear about what they were doing. The second session I went to was about growing philanthropic support with the Ed Foundation. And that got me all charged up too. The people who presented was North Allegheny School District and their foundation. They employ a part-time woman who, when she began 3 years ago, I think they were bringing in $30,000 into their foundation, and now she's grown it to $200,000 a year. So she had a lot of really interesting things to say about how they do that. They put on four events a year. They do that with four events, and they do a lot of, I guess she goes out and makes the ask, and her committee does a lot of thanking, and I think they said they actually thank people 7 times, you know, a phone call and a mention of a handwritten card, et cetera. So anyway, you took a lot of copious notes and got a lot of great ideas. I'll charge them after that.
Thank you. Mr. Benson,
I didn't get to spend as much time as I was hoping to. I'm going to go back to our professional career. I guess I was never big on conferences just because they were brought to you by the sponsors and the creators of the solutions that you could make and so forth. And I guess I wasn't disappointed this year up at PSBA either. It's just difficult in that environment in a short window to get a lot of problems. You realize there's a lot going on. I think what I did value more was the time over the breaks to sit with Drs. Dyer and Dahl and some of my fellow board members and talk more about the current events or things that we aren't even on our radar. And it kind of put me as a junkie with what I guess your meetings are like normally with your administrative team, where you just kind of spitball and you just kind of what if it. And I thought that was a great experience. I think the bigger takeaway too was we're doing a lot right here. And I sat in some of these meetings and you know, it quickly got off topic into one-on-one discussions with how the topic could problem solve in a specific board member's problem with board dynamics or things like that. And I just sat there thinking, I'm glad that guy's not on my board. That it just, there seems to be, we're doing a lot of things right here. We're ahead of the curve. I think it's important to be engaged and to see what the organization can do for topics and have an awareness. But I think it's more validating for what we are doing and our current approaches. And I think it's good to have that awareness and good to participate, but I'm not too apt to drink the Kool-Aid too quickly. But I appreciate the opportunity.
Mr. Benzel.
Thank you. I have to say, by my most interesting session that I went to, it was put on by Unionville Chads Ford School District, and they're about 4,500 or so size school population, so they're close to what we are. But what it was on was they took a look at their student discipline policy, because they had an incident 2 years ago, I think it was, where they had 20 students at a football game that they were drinking. And when it came time to go out to discipline, they looked back like the last 60 times, 70 times, and every single time the kids got like 10 days suspension. And a lot of parents got in an uproar. And then their policy didn't allow for the kid that literally took a sip or the kid that was falling down the steps at home. So then they totally revamped, they had like six levels of offenses, and they narrowed that down to four. And they also give the superintendent, the principal, and the teachers a little bit of leeway in how they handle it. And they also allow for one, they have to follow all these guidelines, but you can get one suspension rescinded. But what that ends up doing, they have to fill out the paperwork. They have to get two or three teachers to sponsor them, and then they go to the superintendent. The superintendent interviews them, and then he makes the final call. And then once he says, "Yeah, we can go ahead and do this," it goes back down to the principal and the teacher. So it was, I passed it along to Dr. Dahl and Dr. Fletcher. It was pretty interesting. I'm not saying we have to do it or need to do it. It's at least worth looking into, and they should. They had the statistics to show, you know, it did help in suspension and stuff. Plus, the paper that has the four levels and what the consequences could be, they said they have that question, like, in every classroom. Like, so that, I mean, I'm sure the kids here know what can happen, but I don't think we have a question in each room in different levels and what the consequences could be. That way, at least they don't have an excuse. Oh, I didn't know that, so. That was a highlight for me. And then one of the other highlights, most of the time they have good speakers. And the one I really liked was Dr. Adolph Brown. And the biggest thing that I got from him was he came out and said that everybody has biases. And he said, what you need to do is let your brain process it and keep your mouth shut. That was short but sweet, but that was the gist of his whole hour presentation. And before that presentation, I didn't really pay much attention, but I noticed the guy had braided hair sticking wild, fatigues, a headband, just walking around the conference. I just figured he'd stand and love down or something. It ends up, this was the guy that was doing this was the Dr. Adolph Brown, and he was doing the speaking and stuff. And he really engaged the public, or everybody at the conference. But he even went on to say one time he was at a principal or a superintendent's conference. Somebody called the police on him, and they actually got handcuffed. You know, and the thing that I really liked about that, gave you the facts, and he wasn't judgmental about anything. I mean, I guess when he got handcuffed, the person putting on the conference was adamant that he should press charges or make a stink about it. And he said, man, you really need some. Next time you have a clutch, to pack it down a little bit slower. You know, he didn't have any hard feelings, and you know, that's sort of his MO going around to make a point. So it was really intriguing and kept your interest. So thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Mr. Benzel, and he was quite an engaging speaker for sure.
One of the other, I'm speaking here on behalf of Mrs. Eastman, one of the other keynote addresses was two people who were involved in promoting the arts in education. And they were specifically very involved in a drama high school in Charlotte, North Carolina. And many of the bigger cities have those, but they made a case for how focus on the arts results in academic success and higher graduation rates. And very interesting discussion. And Mrs. Heaston asked me to share her thoughts on this relative to Dallastown, that common sense is that graduation rates are better than the average because they are inspiring the students through their love of drama. We know we cannot form schools to satisfy all the needs of our students, so we work with what we have. And I believe we are doing a great job in our district to help students identify their interests and inspire and create pathways for their success. So appreciate the comment on that. Personally, I have a low light and a high light to share. The low light is that there's now going to be a required education for school board members. All newly elected school board members has 5 hours of mandatory education, and all re-elected school board members have 3. And that the training is offered both online and in person. And to Mr. Vital's point, of course, PSBA is positioning themselves to be a certified trainer. There'll be more details coming on that, but there'll also be some more work for Mrs. Kirby, who has to keep track of what school board members, when they completed their required training, and it will be subject to audit by the state auditors. I don't know if that means for you personally, Mr. Larkin.
I think I'm not really understanding. There is no fine.
I don't think they voted for them to have any fine.
Oh, we should.
Don't do the test, you have to serve one.
And then I'd just like to talk very briefly about the one keynote address on the final day by Dr. Amy Cuddy. It was a very interesting, she's a Harvard lecturer, and it was a very interesting presentation about becoming more powerful. And it was not in the context of becoming more powerful about wielding influence or wielding power over others. It was in the context of becoming more powerful in controlling yourself. Okay. And she had some really interesting insights, but that true power lies in building confidence in yourself. And then trust becomes the outgrowth of that. That if you have confidence in yourself and treat yourself appropriately, others will have trust in you, and therefore you, by in effect, will become more powerful as a school board member or as an administrator or as a whatever your area is. And she says, when we feel more powerful, we are optimistic, open, we are creative and cognitively agile. We are authentic, we're confident but not arrogant, we're able to listen to others, we're less stressed, and we're more generous. And it was a very well done presentation. So
thankful for the opportunity to hear Dr. Dahl.
And this was actually my first time attending the past PSBA conference, so I thank Dr. Zier for taking me. It was a great opportunity to sort of spend with the board members. I attended many of the various sessions. I'd like to hear some of the sessions again out there in the audience.
Okay.
Now, I did actually attend several of the sessions. One that was a specific interest to me, charter schools. Although we don't have charter schools where we're necessarily sending students, there are districts out there that are spending $50 million a year on sending students outside cyber school or charter schools. I look at it from a sense of we have still work to do with our cyber education program. We have some outsourcing that goes on there. However, it was an interesting their strategy. I attended with Mrs. Stroud, the Revenue for Ed Foundation, which was just extremely exciting, the opportunity that we potentially could have here within our school districts is something to consider. To Mr. Hartman's point, PEASERS, learned that PEASERS still has a current $44.5 billion actuarial unfunded liability, which is debt that has already been incurred and must be paid. So it is, it's certainly, we talked about how we got there from the sense and not necessarily from those that were in the system. We paid. It's some of the, the lack of funding that took place from the state and requirement for the district. So the light at the end of that tunnel, we're excited to say, is we're getting to the top of max payments. So I know we've had some pretty heavy years that way. So a little more optimism moving forward. Onboarding new members, thought that was important. I spent time here with Mr. Blevins. Obviously, we had Mr. Wingard. We will have a new member that's coming on board. So we're excited for some of those tips. As I drive away, I look at the big picture, kind of like Mr. Lytle over here. There's two takeaways. One, thank goodness I commute to Dallas Town, not Hershey every day. And two, I would agree with Mr. Blevins. We have a tremendous board. And you talk, you work and network with administrators, secretary, superintendents, and a lot of the board members over the 2 days I attended. We really do have a good thing here. We have individuals that are certainly committed to education, to students, they're fiscally responsible, and they're just genuinely good people that you want to be around. So that was a big takeaway for me.
Any further questions or comments? Moving on, the Buildings and Capital Projects Committee met on October 10th, we received the administration's recommendation for a secondary campus master plan, and that was very well done and very comprehensive. It will, at some point after the first of the year, We'll revisit that and decide if we want to give conceptual approval for that. And then, over the long term, as the administration develops a prioritized list of capital projects that I believe we're going to present early next year sometime, to the extent items that are part of that secondary campus master plan make their way to the top of the list, at least we'll have a consistency that over time we will achieve the master plan. Now, the price tag is very large, and no one in the room thought for a moment that we could tackle anything like that in the short term, but over the long term, it was a well thought out plan. We also received an update on the Loganville Springfield project, and that is going very well. And so far, change orders have been very minimal, and they are, for the most part, on target with their timeline. So a few minor issues there, but nothing major or showstopping. And then finally, Mr. Warbaugh gave a non-fund update. Any questions about the Buildings and Capital Projects Committee? Okay. Let's move on to the Finance Committee. Mr. Hartman.
Thank you, Mr. Bundy. The Finance Committee meeting ended right after that meeting. The majority of the meeting was spent talking about the 2021 budget parameters and the opening put some comments with that, present it up to Dyer. Not to get into details here, since most of you there, but there are a lot of significant challenges, like there are every year with budget drivers, and this includes the need for, you know, more staff, more capital projects, you know, the various things that we face every year. It was the administration's recommendation to not look to go over the Act 1 index. That doesn't mean, you know, there's been discussion about if we should, well, to that, or nothing, or any of that. It's just that we're not going to exceed the Act 1 index this year. And then finally, we spent some time talking about the aforementioned middle school elevator, which we approved earlier tonight. So, if there's any questions, that's the report.
Thank you, Mr. Harden. Any questions? Okay, let's move on to the PSBA liaison report. Mr. Benson.
Thank you. I have a couple different things. The NPR put out an article by the Department of Education has proposed several key changes to its massive survey that collects data from the nation's public schools on a wide range of civil rights issues. I'm not going to read everything, but here's one of the things that was added. It says, while they previously compiled information about the number of sexual assaults reported at schools, it didn't distinguish whether those incidents were committed by students or school staff. In addition to collecting that information, the new survey would also track whether a staff member was found responsible, whether they were reassigned, dismissed, or allowed to retire prior to final discipline or termination. The department said its reason for adding questions on this topic is to ensure it has sufficient data to address rape or attempted rape and sexual assault cases. One of the things that they took away, they're also proposing to remove the school finance portion of its data set. Previously, they required schools to report the number of full-time personnel or salaries and the amount of non-personnel expenses. They say the move is in response to concerns from schools and districts about the difficulty of reporting such data and about the accuracy of self-reported data. And then the other thing is, they were talking about incidents that schools reported of shootings in the 2015-16 year. They say that it never happened. It says more than two-thirds of the incidents that the school reported as shootings, and it never happened. I don't know how you can confuse that, but apparently it can. And then this is sort of on the same topic, and I think it was a real about how DC is now. On September 18th, members of the House Education and Labor Committee debated H.R. 4301, and they passed out of the committee 27-22 that they're directing the education department to report annually on the number of school shootings, how many people were killed, demographics of shooters and victims, motivation of shooters, types of firearms and ammunition, and how the firearms was acquired and trapped information on safety and prevention measures. And then I think they went back and forth. Some of that stuff's already collected by the feds already. And then this is just on a lighter note, well, I guess I shouldn't say it's on a lighter note. This made national news. Mental health days for students, increasingly accepted reason to stay home from school. Public school students would be allowed to cite the need for a mental health day as an excuse to miss school under a bill filed in the Florida legislature for the 2020 session. The proposal was a part of a growing movement in all the states aimed at improving students' mental well-being.
Mr. Harrington, you did not just hear that, just so you know. No mental health day for you, okay?
And this always, for some reason, I always find it fascinating when they take you to a map and you can put in Dallas County and get some key information. But a new study came out, national news, that poverty, not race, equals the achievement gap. The racial achievement gap. The standardized test score shouldn't be considered a racial gap at all, a new study argues. Instead, it's more accurate to call it a poverty gap. And then I have the link in the story from Education Week where you can get on the, click on the website and you get the little thing that pops up with the state. You can put in Dallas County, you can get all kinds of, I think it's interesting information, but do with it what you want.
And then,
that's a Hallmark Christmas movie.
I'm just watching.
And then this is just an update. The PSBA was pushing against Senate Bill 334. We were talking about that before. It's a legislation that greatly restricts the ability of school districts to seek appeals of underassessed properties, only allowing appeals to be sought under very limited circumstances. Well, that I think that passed out of the Senate committee yesterday. So hopefully it won't get fast tracked, but that's what they were worried about. So it made it through the committee. So that's not good news. Peace for us. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Benson. Mrs. Houston has posted reports on the next three information items: the LIU board report, the LIU joint authority report, and the York Adams Academy report. And says that if you have any questions, to contact her, and she will address all three of those at our next board meeting. York County School of Technology, Mr. Lytle.
Thank you, Mr. Blevins. The action items are presented in a summary that is attached. The two takeaways, shovel was put in the ground, the gym has started. They're looking at about an 18-month construction process there for a brand new gym. And secondly, the process has started for the budget. It was put out for review. I think the superintendent did get a correct glance at it strategically. It did come to the JOC first glance. Tonight is their meeting, as this is the priority for me, so it's being covered. But today was the end of the open comment period for the board members to make any recommendation or changes. So I would imagine that's going to come out shortly in the district's approval. That's all I have. Thank you.
Any questions for Mr. Lytle?
Thank you.
At our next board meeting, we will be appointing a nominating committee. We're required to have three, pursuant to our policies and procedures, three members of the nominating committee. If you're interested in being on that committee, please let me know. If we get more than three, then at the next board meeting, we'll have to do it on that. Conference requests are posted for your review. Now's the time for any board comments or correspondence.
I want to roll back to item 9C for a moment because we didn't take the time for a comment before you write to vote.
I'm sorry, I just wanted to screw up.
I want to remind us when we approved the project for Loganville, we, as a board, voted to go above the initial target price for the project. We also had a lot of discussion that night about holding the line on expenses and not having change orders and looking at what we needed versus what we wanted. The comments that were in the notes and the minutes from the meeting that I wasn't able to be at because I was traveling for work mentioned that we were going to look at using the soft cost portion of the budget in the contingency fund to fund the upgrades of the furniture, $38,000. It's not why we have contingency fund or project. Contingency fund's not to do upgrades. And I realized we were going to do a voice vote, I would have voted no on that because if we're going to approve upgrades over and above the project, it should come out of the capital fund so that the contingency is in the project in case we run into unforeseen expenses which have to be covered through the contingency. So I understand it's a matter of semantics, but it's also a matter of principle. We also know that that project comes out of that bond fund money that we approved several years ago. And there's still a significant portion of that money left there. And I want to make sure what doesn't get lost in this is as we wait for a capital project plan to come out, we took that money as a board at that time for transformational projects. We did not take that additional debt out to cover things that we should be doing out of the normal operating budget, like replacing chillers or whatever comes up on the capital projects list. So I've encouraged the board, even though I won't be with the board in 2 months, that we remember the reasons why we did that. So understanding the comprehensive plan is the right thing to do, which I have complete support of. Let's not rest on our laurels because we try to take that money and use that money for things we should be funding out of general budget and capital. That money was for transformational work, not chillers, roofs, windows, carpet, etc. So I just caution that. I wanted to get on record about the discussions we had with, again, Logan Bill on the budget, because every dollar we spend beyond that takes away from those other transformational items. And we should be buying things we need before we buy things we want. So this one, we put with that. Thank you.
And I apologize, Mr. Bill, for skipping through the opportunity to comment. That was another senior member in all my time. So.
That's why we have a correspondence at the end.
Any other word comments?
Just have one quick thing. As part of the Dr. Gall tour at the township a couple weeks ago, and just want to share with the board and the public that during the meeting, one parent spoke up, and I don't want to talk too much about this in public, I don't want permission to share in public, but especially they're a bus driver, and I just want to remind everyone that you hear me, do not pass buses. It's ridiculous. It's illegal. Somebody's going to get hurt. So just don't do it. Thank you.
I just want to, I had the opportunity to do two things that he's got that was fun. On October 2nd, I had the opportunity to work with Mr. Wingard and Mrs. Taroso, and Mr. Peters asked if I would still help out. And they did the field trips. Mr. Wingard and I got to do the 7th grade girls and boys do the confidence course. I think it worked out all right. And I'm no worse for what we're there. Mr. Wingard must most of it.
Well, it was a lot of fun, and thank you for inviting us. We certainly had a few challenges because of the number of the group, but Steve took the girls and I took the boys, and we got through it. We had a good time. Thank you.
And then Tuesday night, I got the opportunity, I'm still going to call it ESL, but it's Family and Parent Engagement Night for the ESL kids and their parents. I just want to give kudos to Dr. Freak. She does a lot of work to put that together. And then Dr. Anderson, Mr. Smith, Mr. Bouchelon, and Mr. Patterson, you know, they were all there. I doubt if anybody went home, and they're all the teachers, so there was a lot of work with it. The kids, that was the first one of those that I went to. I did some ESL classes a year or so ago, but this is the first time I got to participate. And Mr. Anderson and Mr. Smith still have sticky hands because they were doing the candy apples. But it was really neat to watch the interaction of the kids. And Mr. Bouchelon and I were talking. There were two little girls just giggling up, and I just thought they were friends forever. But one little girl is Ukrainian, but can speak Ukrainian and Russian, and the other girl was Russian, and that was the first night they met. And they were talking up a storm and giggling and having fun. It's like, I've never seen anything like that. But that it was really fun, and I just want to thank everybody for having me watch and decorate a little bit. But it's just another thing the teachers and the administration do above and beyond. You know, that I know I'm not big on getting recognition and stuff, but I'll say it every once in a while, but they really do put out the extra effort above and beyond. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Spencer. Any other comments? Once again, congratulations to Mr. Weingard and to Dr. Upper. And now is our second and final opportunity for public comment. If anyone has comment, please come forward. Microphone, state your name and address, and make your comment. The calendar of board events is attached to your review, and the meeting is adjourned.
We were were close.
You were.
Yeah.
What's the website?
Yeah.